Men of God, I do thank the Lord for these men and their life and their ministry and the way God's using them. It's a blessing to me indeed. And I'm going to trust the Lord, preach from my heart this morning. And I considered this after Brother Ellis called me. It's strange. I'd talked to Brother Mike Hoggart the day before, and I said, "See you Saturday." And he was, "Yeah, I'll see you Saturday." And then he called the next day or so and said, "Brother Mike's sick." And what did I do now?
No, you're fine. You just keep talking. I'm going to turn one
on. What do you want me to say?
Whatever you were talking about, you just keep going. I got one more to turn on.
We're going to have a new America.
Amen. There you go, brother.
Whether you're black, tan, or white, you still have red blood, and it's going to bleed patriotic. That was encouraging, to say the least. Amen. For sure, some of the things that were said at that. And I'm thrilled to be here. I'm grateful I got to hear Brother Jerry. It's been a while since we got to preach together. And I'd walk. I mean that to hear these guys. Brother Craig Blinds. I personally want to brag on him. I think he's one of the greatest young men that's come from my neck of the woods, for sure. And we appreciate him. And then Brother Mike's like a physical brother. We've been friends in the ministry for a lot of years. So good to look across the floor and see you folks. And good to see Brother Larry Wormington, those good old Missouri folks. Good to see Brother Dwayne. Never dreamed get to see you this morning. And even got one guy from Newton County here. Brother Charlie's here with us too. He's an elder and all that. Brother Doyle, he don't know where he's from. Good to have you, brother. Good to see you. He doesn't know where he's going, so somebody help him to the car after the service, and we'll be kind to you in that regard. Brother Derek, would you scoot down a little bit? And you're under the light, and it's reflecting. Please, see here. If you scoot down toward Brother Jerry, kind of center yourself, it'd help me there, you know. And please don't get your heads together. I know there can't be two moons on a cold day, for sure. Okay. Would you stand to rest yourself today? I'm going to preach a different kind of message for a camp meeting. But I'm an old preacher. Pastored the same folks. Soon be 25 years. I know my people. And it just seems like that I can't go anywhere or any place that I don't get caught. And they say, "Brother Lonnie, would you please pray?" And Brother Dwayne, I get that same story. And it's happening to you too. And it gets overwhelming, Brother Larry, to have prayer requests. You notice that? And I'm going to preach to that issue this morning when Satan puts you in the crosshair. Now, I'm thinking I'm in country enough. If you don't understand what crosshairs are, Brother Kevin Kestner will give you a lesson after church. That's all he sees is crosshairs, you know, and deer and such as that. I think you know probably what I'm saying. It's just saying, "You're under fire." And I have an idea this morning that in this crowd on this Saturday, that I'm preaching to folks that's filled the fire this week. And I'd like to ascend up here and say, "Oh, I'm so spiritual. And Satan just lets me alone." And I honestly, at one time, as a young man, thought if I was close enough to God, Craig Lyons, the devil couldn't bother me. But I found out the closer I got, the less he liked me. So I'm taking you over to the book of Isaiah with Brother Jerry, only going a little further, to chapter 45, verse 9. And I'll read just a few verses there for my message and for the statement that I wish to make to you. Now, I'm basically going to preach on the sovereignty of God. And you're thinking, that's not a camp meeting message. But God's got a purpose. His word is always right for whatever occasion. Look at it with me. Isaiah 45 and 9. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, what makest thou? Are thy work, he hath no hands? Woe unto him that saith unto his father, what begettest thou? Or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his master, ask me of things to come concerning my sons, concerning the work of my hands, commend ye me. I've made the work earth and created man upon it. Let's read that again for sake of emphasis. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. When Satan puts you in his crosshairs. Father, today, I bow an unworthy head over the Word of God. I don't even deserve to be here, Father. But it's because of your mercy and your grace that was extended to this little poor country boy. It brought me into this marvelous family and into this wonderful grace that Brother Jerry's preached about. And it was your finger that was pointed to me and placed a calling upon me. And I'm here because of you to do your will. Have your way this day. Thank you for the wonderful preaching and singing, the good breakfast. Thank you for the men of God that stands in this pulpit. Brother Jamie, thank you for his good, clean life and his precious wife and kids. And I want to say thank you, Father, for his daddy and his mama and his family. What a tremendous blessing my life has received from their friendship. I ask you today to help us in this hour. We know what it is to be under fire. But God, may I preach in such a manner that we'll no longer fear the valleys, but we'll just farm them. Have your way right now in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Be seated. Thank you for standing. There is an old church hymnal that we have learned. It's a beautiful song. And sometimes those songs have further meaning and message if we read from the author or the life of those who penned them. One such man is H.G. Spafford. Quickly you recognize that his song that he's most famous for is "It's Well With My Soul." But what you may not know with that song, did you know that just weeks prior, everything that he owned in Chicago perished in the great Chicago fire. And that he and his wife were actually going to establish a new life. He had put them upon, as you remember, one of the finest ships sailing to England of that time. There was a tragic wreck there in the midst of the ocean. An iron-carrying vessel rammed that ship, and his four children perished. Only his wife was saved. When Mr. Spafford sailed to join her, he asked the captain of the boat, "Where did this happen at?" And at the exact spot, as near as the captain could show him, he stood on the bow, no doubt looking, Brother Jamie, in the water and seeing four faces that he loved. And he wrote these words that we sing. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it's well with my soul. What you may not know in the rest of the story, Philip Paul Bliss, the great song leader and composer, sometimes later wrote the music to this song. But are you aware that in 2 weeks, he and his wife perished in a terrible, fiery crash? And so when we sing, "It's well with my soul," understand the depth of where those words came from. And may God give you and I the grace to say, "It's well. It's well with my soul." I got to be honest with you, Charlie Jameson. When I begin to preach a message like this, I can't be boisterous, because in my mind are, for instance, two faces called my granddaughters. And when I say, "It's well, whatever it be, it is well," I just pray that I could do well, Brother Doyle Williamson, at those times and reflect Jesus Christ. Now, I'm using two Old Testament characters today, Job and Joseph, to show you the sovereign hand of God upon the believer's life. God said this of Job, that there's none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Then, on the other hand, there is not a more clear picture of Jesus Christ than in the life of Joseph. Have you ever done the similarities? Both of them were loved by their fathers, just to name a few. Both betrayed and sold by their brethren. Both delivered. And both take a Gentile bride. Surprisingly, both of those knew too well, full well, what it was to be in Satan's crosshairs. Now, if I ask you today, how many of you like to be like Job? There wouldn't be a single hand go up. Maybe the latter part of Joseph's life, you'd say, "Yeah, I'll take that. Oh, yeah, we'd rather be Elijah. We'd rather call fire down. We'd rather be like Elisha and do those miracles." But do you know what's surprising? Elijah, Elisha, and Joseph all came from Dothan. And you can see both sides of the picture of the things happening at Dothan. So I stand over the Word today and tell you that sovereignty is God's right to do what He wants with what is His. Did you catch that? The sovereignty of God is that He is, David Ryder, the mighty ruler of this world and of His people here. Job chapter 1. Now there was a day when the sons of God, in verse 6, came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence cometh thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, and one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the works of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put now thy hand forth now, and touch all that he hath, and he'll curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only unto himself put not forth thine hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord with Job in his crosshairs. Now, let's jump to, real quickly, Job says, or the Word said in the book of Job 1:22, "In all of this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." Let's go to Genesis, chapter 41, verse 38. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this? A man in whom the Spirit of God is. Now here is the key to the success of Joseph during all of his adversity. Look at verse 41. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I've set thee over the land of Egypt. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, bow the knees. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I'm Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. Look at the two lies for a moment, and the sovereignty of God. Now then, I want you to do something with me. I want you to sigh. You know how to sigh? Horses do it. When I pulled a heavy load with them, Craig lines, I've heard horses go, I want you to sigh. Because right now I'm preaching you a message that a sovereign God's in charge of our life. And you can rest in Him. Sigh. I'm going to talk about the believer in the will of God. Now people do reject the will of God. They have a free will. But I'm preaching about being in the will of God. And I want you to get this straight. God chose your parents. I believe God chose your wife. For you, mister. I do believe that with all of my heart. I believe that God chose your job and gave your abilities to you. I believe that your future totally is in the hand of God. Child of God, the safest place in all the world to be is in the will of God and the hand of God. Boy, I thank God for His blessing. This is going to probably get a chuckle out of you. Last night I come home to my wife. I'd been to this funeral visitation. She couldn't go because of all the things she had to do. And I saw this girl that I liked in high school. Of course, she's not a girl now. I think it's her, you know, her hair changes and all that. And I didn't even really look at her. But I come home saying, boy, I thank God that He ordered my life. And gave me you instead of her. Now, she may be a wonderful woman. I hope she is. She may be a Christian woman. But I believe God had ordained not that I marry that woman, but that I marry Connie. That she would be my wife. Do you believe that, Brother Jim? I believe this. The sovereignty of God. That's why you've got to submit your life to Jesus Christ today. And submit to His will. Now, take heart if you're under fire. These were the two greatest men in the Old Testament. The Bible pointed that out. Take heart. Look who's in the fire with you. The same one that was with Daniel. The fourth man seen in the fiery furnace. In the form of the Son of God. The Ancient of Days. From everlasting to everlasting. Almighty, heal Him, God. Was in the fire with Him. The same one with you today. Now, as I begin to study this out, and I've preached a series on this, and I'll not preach the whole series today, I promise you that. But there's something that really caught my attention. Remember, I want to speak to the Christian in the will of God just for a moment. Do you realize that you are the elect of God? Free will Baptists have kind of went, ooh, and backed up from that word. I'm not backing up from it. We're chosen of Him. Ordained that we should go and bring forth much fruit. I don't like this elitism that some people want to put with elect. I'm part of the elect. Because when I begin to study the Word, Charlie James, and the first time the word elect is used, it's pointing to people in the crosshairs. Wow, you didn't know that. That's right. The first time it's used in the New Testament, I'm saying, and except those days should be shortened, there shall be no flesh saved, but for the elect's sake. They shall be salted. I'm going to promise you then, probably, and you can argue this, but I don't think you can win the argument. One of the signs that you're part of the electism is because you're going to be in the crosshairs of Satan. Amen? Well, that tears a lot of the PTL clubs teaching all to pieces, Brother Doyle. You know, I heard years ago, Brother Wayne, if I'd get saved, all I'd have to do is confess it and I'd have a new Cadillac. Oh, if I had wanted this, all I had to do was confess it. I'd never have a problem. But strangely enough, I read in the Word Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And strangely enough, when I begin to look at that, I found that I'm no better than my Master. And if they so persecuted Him, I'm not supposed to expect something better than Him. But I ought to rejoice that I become partakers of His suffering. Now, there's three different places that. And by the way, He does send forth His angels to gather together His elect from the four winds of the earth. I personally think that's a picture of the rapture. That He's going to gather whom? His elect. But remember, the elect get caught in the crosshairs. And when I look at elect and I look at sovereignty, I can't help but see the foreknowledge of God. You see, God knows the end from the beginning. God would have never let Joseph or Job be tested in such a manner had not He known they were going to come out on the other side victorious. And so I rejoice today with you, and we quote that scripture, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with every temptation make the way to escape that you may be able to bear it." I think sometimes we misuse it a little bit, but I do rejoice that I'm not going to be overcome when I'm abiding in Him. Where I ought to be, God's faithful, and He'll not allow me to be overcome. The sovereignty of God speaks of His power, His omniscience. And in His power, none can approach Him. In fact, there is no power but the power that be ordained of God. God knows everything, that's in His omniscience. God's everywhere, that's His omnipresence. God's in charge completely in everything in the believer's life. How many of you believe that? Say amen. God's working right now for His glory in your life. You may say, "Well, Brother Lonnie, I woke up with a crick this morning. And I woke up with a headache. And I woke up this way." Thank God you woke up. And this is the day the Lord's made. And God, if you stand with Him, you'll give Him glory somewhere in it. Now listen, no matter the fire, no matter the heat, God's working all things for His glory and your best. I want to make a statement. I am Armenian by belief. And doctrine from the Word. But God doesn't save you to lose you. Oh, I scared some of you old Free Will Baptists, didn't I? That's right. God didn't save you, Larry Warmington, to lose you. But He saved you with an eternal purpose in mind, that you might bring forth glory and show people up there in Missouri, Christ living in me, the hope of glory. I do have three children. Two boys, a girl. Got a son-in-law. I'm a slow learner in life. Do you know bringing them into this world was a very small expense? That's right. You may say it cost us $3,000 for that little girl. or it cost us $5,000, or whatever. Have you learned they never stop costing? Am I right? If nothing else, dear extended, right there, the older they get, the heavier they are on your heart. When I can say, sit still and listen, Mama going to take you outside. That's the easy days. But they've never stopped costing me because they're so heavy on my heart in that regard. I really believe that one of the greatest show of God's power was not just in delivering Egypt from by the blood of the Lamb, or Israel from Egypt, rather, by the blood of the Lamb, but the parting of the Red Sea. What are you saying? Tests don't come to destroy us, but to show other God's grace and God's power. Three little points in this message. Serving God in the shadows is the first point of my message. Where do shadows come? In valleys. In the morning, when the sun pops its head up, that mountain, if we live here in the Ozarks, you look out your window, there's a mountain on this side, and there's a mountain on the other side. And I want to tell you how to tell where the valley is. It's between two mountains, always. But that valley coming up early was shadow part of the day. I remember how vulnerable the youthful days are and were, don't you? That's why God gives children parents, because of the vulnerability of youth, and for parents to guide their life and to keep their hands upon them. And then you don't go too far and the shadow starts coming in the other way. And we begin to take serious look at a thing called death and old age and all of that. Amen. And you're actually in the valley all of your life in between two mountains. But there's a lot of things I learned about valley. In Psalms 23, it's written for those in the valley. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Where are green pastures in the valley? And you listen to what this preacher's saying. And he causes him to drink water from the valley. You know where they're drinking at? The deepest part of the river. That is, Jerry Sadler, the deepest part of the valley then. Get that. Now, sheep don't drink that running over the shoal water that's rippling and crackling and making that noise, because the way God made them, their nose is somewhat built on the end of their face there, and water will run directly in and strangle them. So they like to drink from still water. That's the deepest part of the valley. What are you saying, preacher? I'm talking about you serving God when you're in the valley. I'm talking about you drinking from the deep, clear, cold water in the valley. It's in the darkness of the shadows that true Christian character is shown. For the old preacher of yesteryear, men didn't like his preaching the word. And when they had to have some farm animals, old Brother D. Smith told me this. This dear old man of God, his name has slipped my mind. Somebody did something to his milk cow. And they needed that milk cow for the family, the baby, whatnot. And they went down there to pray for it. You say, pray for a cow? Yes, sir, you ought to pray about everything. You ought to pray about everything. Some other men of God went down there to pray for the old milk cow. And before they got there, Craig Belin, the old preacher said, boys, it's all right either way. It's all right either way. And they got there and she was dead. And they cut her open and she was full of tacks. Somebody had fed her nails that had killed that needed milk cow. But the old preacher had the victory before he got there. And he said, it's all right either way. He's God on the mountain. He's God in the valley. Whatever. If the cow's never resurrected or I don't ever have another cow, it's all right either way. I'm talking to you about serving God in the shadows. Now, I do like to farm some. And it's his honest truth. I still have a pair of workhorses and plows and such as that. Oh, there's just something about being close to God, following that double shovel, throwing that dirt over on those taters, and saying, whoop, gee around, and come back down to it. Hey, just something good about that. I like it. I know you think I'm crazy, but I'm wondering about some of you. The best place in the world to farm is in the valley. You know why, Larry? All those minerals washed off of that mountain. All of the good stuff in the ground come down through there. And the water has come down through there and softened that old dirt and made it black and dark colored. And the best of crops will grow in the valley. You never hardly see a man take an old ball knob and plant corn up there, do you? But he'll say, let's go down in the holler and I'll show you my corn. Where's he talking about? In the valley there. And it's down there in the valley that the world can see what's growing in our life as they look down on us. But remember, it's between two mountains. Oh, he knew I couldn't live on the mountaintop, Dottie Rambo said, so he picked out a valley for me. Now, God just gave me a little insight. You listen, if you're in the valley, just farm it. Just start farming. Start growing something good to eat. Start growing something that'll feed you. I'm talking about serving in the shadows. Oh, listen. We just like to be up front all the time. It don't work that way. We just like to have the hand of God just blessing us all the time. Sometimes there's shadows. There's droughts and hard times. But I've learned the diligent farmer just keeps on plowing, lay worming down. And he keeps on plowing in hope of a harvest out there, in hope of it. Now, I don't like to confess this. I'm ashamed of this. I've had a long dry spell, preacher, of seeing old hard sinners walk down the aisle and saying, I'm lost. I need to be saved. And I don't understand this, Ellis Doyle. I have lost people come, and they get under conviction, and they get mad, and won't come back. You notice that? I was in a revival with a young man. Boy, God was blessing. Lost people come. And one night, I saw the Holy Spirit doing His work. And by the way, He has come to convict, to reprove this world of righteousness. And He's holding a young baby boy, and he's sitting there by his wife. And I saw the Holy Ghost get on them and plow their hearts under. You know what I was thinking? Hey, we're about on the verge of something big going to happen in this little town. Guess what, Derek Stinnett? They never come back. Used to, they'd go to squalling and a bawling, pardon my English, and jump up out of the pew and run to the altar, fall on their face, want people to pray for them and rise up with a smile and happy in their soul. God's forgive me. But now then, that preacher, we're going to have to go where he don't make me feel bad. Hello? Hello? I want to go where I'll be patted on the head and told how good I am and everything's going to be all right. I want to tell you, you're on the road to hell, lost in sin. Everything's not all right. It's not good. And blessed be the doctor that has the courage to say, man, you're sick and you need help. Sometimes in the valley, it seems like nobody stands with you. Well, there's a lot of days you just give a nickel if somebody just understood. Been there? And the least thing you need to do is talk to some preacher that's not honest. Oh man, hallelujah, God's moving over that place. They're coming by droves and getting saved. We're building. God's blessing everywhere. Okay, well thank God He's doing it for you. But some days, a lot of days, I've not seen anybody saved. I'm not asking you to be complacent with that, but you're looking at a guy that's got his feet in a furrow, and I'm plowing. I come back to my church one night. I'd been out so winning. I said, thank God I found a lost man in Boone County, Arkansas. You know, well, what do you mean? I found an old boy that's saved. No, sir. I'm not saved and I'm not right with God. Because me and about everybody you talk to, me and my dog and my cow, we're all saved. What do you mean asking us? Don't you know we live in America? You see that attitude? And there's times I wish somebody understood. That I wish they understood, Derek, what it is to labor over that old book and to pray your heart out, cry and fast and beg God for mercy, get up there and it's dry as popcorn and people check out on you just as soon as you get your text read and slip off into another world mentally. I took one church one time. Head deacon told me, said, now, Brother Lonnie, don't think anything about it. If our people gets quiet, that means they're really listening to you. I said, yeah, I don't mind them getting quiet. But I don't like them when they throw their head back and their mouth comes open and they sound like a four-barrel Harley carburetor wound tight. I don't like that. Sometimes, but you know what I have to do? Go home, get ready, come back and do it again. And try again. Just keep plowing. I'm talking about the sovereignty of God at work. I'm going to lift you out of this in a minute. Now, I want to hit another point that's a little bit different. I want to tell you about staying put in the shadows. Not just serving God when it's not fun and when it's in the shadows. But staying put. This is probably the hardest part of falling under Satan's crosshairs. That is to tempt, resist the temptation to run. A lot of folks never get to see the glorious work of God because they refuse to stay put long enough to see the manifestation of the power of God. Sometimes getaways are nothing short of putaways. Now think about that. And I've been there. But I've learned to stand. Keep standing. He'll show up. Sometimes our getaways, Brother Jerry, can put us out of the will of God. Look at Moses at the Red Sea in front of Pharaoh's army swooping down up over them. Million souls shouting out, Moses, you brought us out here to kill us. How many of you realize he's caught in the crosshairs right there? Imagine that. Boy, you talk about pressure. A million of your own folks shouting at you, Moses, look what you've done to us. And then here comes Pharaoh and all of his chariots racing down upon you. And you know what? God didn't have enough sense to say, run for your life, boy. You know what God said? Stand still. Wow. Stand still. The hardest thing in the world when the enemies are swooping down upon you is to stand still. Just stand still. Just keep standing. You know how I stand still? No! Just like you. God! You better get a little mini rapture going here real quick. And God said, stand still, Moses. Just stand still. You talk about a man of God, Brother Mike Hutzel, to obey God in a crisis like that. Take your rod, Moses. Stretch it out. Wow. charismatic folks love to have that rod, wouldn't they? They'd make another jillion off of the innocent folks. And the rock and the waters divide. And I like this. They went across dry shod, the Bible says. They weren't. When I was a kid, I've waded out in some of those old ponds. And it'd get deeper you got, the deeper the mud come. You'd pull your foot and it'd go. And some of you guys have had to rope an old cow, tie the truck on her, and pull her out of the pond, haven't you? Because that mud just goes to sucking you down in it. Can you imagine across the Red Sea how deep the mud would have been? Isn't it amazing? God stopped the water, dried the creek up, dried the ocean up, boom, just like that.
Yeah.
Scopher said, now, that's not such a big thing. Don't you know at a certain time of the year that it dries up, it's just ankle deep? One sharp guy said, well, that's really something. God would drown all of Pharaoh's men in ankle deep water. That's quite a miracle, wouldn't it? But just, and God said, stand still. That's the hardest thing in the world, to stay put, to stand still. And I know what it is when they're writing your name on the sidewalk. I know what it is when they're trying to run you off. But there's times God said, stay still. Let me show you what I can do. And the water divided. And they walked across dry shod. You know the story. And Pharaoh's men are going to hit the interstate too. And when they got on it, whoosh, that water sucked together. And they drowned right there. Staying put to see the power of God. Years ago, when we lived at our little cabin on the hillside at Low Gap, the church where Brother Craig went and pastored for several years and made the church known had phenomenal growth. This was a long time before that. He was still a pup then. Now he's an old dog, but he's a pup then. They couldn't get preachers a lot of times. Go ahead and grin, Craig. They call me late in the evening. How long did you come preach for us? We ain't got a preacher died. And Mary Ann's my little girl. I don't know, she's little then. She's married now and got a little girl of her own. And man, I tell you, she's always the apple of her daddy's eye. We are still close. You think there's something wrong with us. She'll come into the house and she'll just hug on old daddy. And daddy'll kiss her on the head. She's shorter than I am. And before she'll leave, Brother Charles, she'll say, I love you, Daddy. Dad, I like that. Just like Mike Hutzel. He thinks Mackenzie's the prettiest little girl ever lived. That's right. Just like you. I've seen her lock her arms around Daddy. You think she's the sweetest thing ever walk? That's the way God made it.
Sure.
And I had a mule named Classy. And Mary Ann had a little horse called Doc. The neighbors had loaned her as a kid horse. And I said, Mary Ann, let's pull the trailer down to Ponca, and let's ride up over the hill to church. I'm not necessarily the greatest, what's that word, Connie, at carrying out. I think you reminded me last night. I can get things started, Dwayne, and get a fire going, but my wife's one of those detailed persons. Did you do this? Did you do this? Did you do this? Why did you leave that? My word. Why'd I leave it? Because I did. And Brother Charlie, I never thought about it's going to get dark time churches open. We rode up there in the light. How many of you have been over the Buffalo River over there? I mean, some of them mountains are steep enough you can stand flat footed and kiss the ground in front of you. And those old logging roads off of them, trees are growed over them. Rattlesnakes are on them and copperheads, and it's dark. And so I put my Bible in the saddlebags. We rode up there, tied our animals up, and I preached to those people, and we started home. But man, when we got Brother Craig Lyons out of the sight of all the lights, started down that steep hill, it got dark as could be. I want to help you how to stay put in the shadows. Man, the way them big old oaks hovered over that road, it's summertime, and as black as an ace spade. You know what that is? I've heard that all my life. I never played cards, but I've heard it. You mean it's black? You couldn't see your hand in front of you. And I'm riding my mule. And she's on dock. And we got into that darkness a little bit. I heard this little voice that I knew so well. Papa, Daddy, what, Marianne? And I didn't have to say what. I knew my cousin, she's scared to death. So I first reached down, picked her up and sat in the saddle, and that wasn't comfortable for 2-4 going downhill. And so I set her back on dock and I said, Marianne, this is what you do. You just grip the saddle horn and you hang on. We'll come out of the darkness a little while and we'll be in the light. Now you get this spiritual point. We couldn't see, but that horse and that mule, they can see perfectly in the dark. Sometimes I'm in the dark and I can't see nothing. Yeah. All I got to do, hang on to His hand, because He can see in the shadow as well as in the daytime. Yeah. Boy, I tell you, after a while, Brother Duane, we rode out back under the light. I'm just telling you, stay put. I've read the last page of this book. I know who's going to win, don't you? And I'm talking about a believer in the will of God. Staying put. Doing God's will. We can't afford to get out of the will of God. We must stay put. Okay, last point. I'm through. I want to talk to you about stepping from the prison to the palace in one day. Now stay with me, please. God, in His own good times, delivered at just the right moment because God is sovereign. Do you get this? Joseph! When his brothers wanted to kill him, there was a Reuben that said no. The sovereign hand of God was at work. When they threw him in the pit, the sovereign God had drained the well already. God knew there was a band of Ishmaelites. God knew where they were going to. It'd be easy to say, Brother Kevin, they just happened to be going to Egypt. It wouldn't have happened since. God's moving His man down there because He knows there's going to be a famine. God knew there was a Potiphar that needed a good servant. He just happened to be an officer, by the way, under Pharaoh. And God knew that Mrs. Potiphar was promiscuous. And she had a wicked heart. And her promiscuous way of life. God knew all about it, Jerry. But God knew His servant's heart. Joseph, too, wasn't going to fall for that sin. I believe that. I believe that. God was going to put His Spirit upon him and happen. And you're talking about a boy that's a height of his life coming into manhood. Egyptian women were known for their loose lifestyle. But God had a man for His kingdom that couldn't be bought by lust and desires. God, give us a generation of godly men that are not controlled by the lust of the flesh in this world's fashion, but by His Spirit. God knew she was going to try Him every way. But God had a place He wants His man. Could I stop right there? The story of Joseph could have been so different. But let me tell you what this guy could do. He could take his grandson and say, the sovereign hand of God will keep you. Son, the sovereign hand of God will stay on you and give you grace. And what a blessing to say. Our daddy couldn't be bought.
Right. Amen.
Come on. Grandpa was the kind. And when they talked about Grandpa, Grandpa was the kind that had his eyes on Jesus so much that the world couldn't get. When the last clot of dirt strode in our face, may they say, there's a man that couldn't be bought. There's a woman that couldn't be bought. I'm talking about from the prison to the palace in one day. God knew what He was doing. Potiphar's wife, I've read where she lost her mind, took her life, heard that. In prison, God knew that Pharaoh was going to get angry with his butler and his baker and put them in there. God knew that Joseph was going to be put in the same prison. Why the dreams? It's time. What do you think the butler forgot? It wasn't time. And when Pharaoh dreams these dreams of fat cow, poor cows, good ears of corn, dry ones, and he can't get an answer, and the butler says, I remember my fault. There was a man when I was in prison because Pharaoh was angry with me that the Spirit of the Most Excellent God was upon. And he could interpret dreams. Now it's time. 3 days before, wouldn't have meant anything, Brother Jerry. But it's time now. I'm telling you the sovereign hand of God was at work. I'm telling you about serving God in shadows and staying put. I'm talking to you about when Satan puts you in the crosshairs, what you got to do. Now it's time to step from the dungeon to the palace. God's going to use him to save his posterity. Because of that, there is a Jewish nation today. Because there was a Jewish nation, there is a Savior by the name of Jesus Christ. Because of the sovereign hand of Almighty God, you and I today are here, children of the King, children of the Most High. Jerry said it already, my brother. Let me say it again. The bottom line is really not about you. It's about the sovereign will of God being worked. It's about God seeing all the picture. It's about a God that knows the end from the beginning and Him accomplishing that which He would please. Well, preacher, what are you saying to us when Satan puts you in the crosshairs? Remember, God's going to work a purpose. And God's going to work a plan with your life. We are elect according to His purpose. God has a purpose. And when Satan means it for evil, God can make it into good. You're in the crosshairs, stay put. Serve God in the shadow. Preach when it ain't fine. Preach when it is fine. Pray when you feel like it. Pray when you don't feel like it. Read His book when you can't get nothing out of it. Read it when it feeds your soul like manna from heaven. God help us to walk safe. Now, my final statements. When you believe in the sovereignty of God, get this, if you haven't gotten anything else, you can step where you can't see. Amen. Yep. Did you get it? Write it down. Yes. I've preached this to my church. You can undergo what you don't understand. And you can endure what you don't enjoy. When you believe in the sovereign of God. Now sigh. God's in control. God's working. Whether it be a Pharaoh's prison, or whether it be a denominational prison, whatever, physical prison, whatever, God give us grace to keep walking the same way. I'm going to close. Derek Stent would say, if you believe that, you're very gullible. Watch this. If I do that enough, there will get to be a path there. Even in carpet, Brother Dwayne. And I'm not a young man. You can see that now. I preached to you when my hair was black. Thank God I got some. My wife tells me if you don't quit teasing guys that don't have it, God's going to smite you. I hope she's wrong. All we need is three on that pew back then. But keep walking that same way.
Amen.
Keep walking that same way.
Yeah.
Do you know all it takes to establish a path is to walk the same way every day?
Yeah.
And if you can sing, when others say there's no need to sing,
yeah.
You can pray when it seemed like the heavens brass. And you can go ahead and preach on tithing and loving God with your money when you're broke flat as a pity. And you're going to just keep right on singing, oh, victory in Jesus, and keep walking the same path. You'll cut a path. See those three boys? You keep walking the path. They're going to need a path to follow. That's a different sermon, a different time. I just feel like saying it. But when the sovereign hand is on you, you just keep walking. Keep working. You keep walking the same way. Because pretty soon God will say, come on.
Yeah.
And we'll walk out the other end.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, I was joking about with the brethren and about my gray hair. I cuss, well, I've looked to the other end of this. When the reason that he's here, well, the reason why we spend so much money on young people and work so much in them, I'm going to check out of this thing someday. And I want to have left a path for them to follow. That there's a way to walk. There's a way to walk. It's a sovereign path. Because the Savior leads me. And sometimes I tremble. Barry Wormington on the path. But when you get on that old path, you can feel it.
Yeah, amen.
That's right. I was raised in a house where there's paths all over the place. To the barn. I can't say to the bathroom, so I have to say to the toilet. To the dogs. To the chicken house. You know what I'm saying. It only takes is you walk the same way every day, and there will be a path. And Craig Vines, a lot of dark nights, I got up without a flashlight. And this is what I'd do. You know what I mean, Derek?
Sure.
I'd step in that path. And I knew where to walk. We're living in dark times.
Yes.
And there are a lot of people that's doing this right now.
Yeah.
Feeling. But when you get on that old path, you can feel it.
Yeah.
And you just follow it. Yes. Father, I thank you for this time. Please bless Brother Mike Hoggart. I pray you had a divine purpose in this message this morning and this time. God, lift Mike up. Thank you for the tremendous work he is doing for the kingdom of heaven and the old book. Touch him right now, I pray. God, I'm probably preaching to somebody that's serving you in the shadows. And right now, it's hard to stay put. And you're saying, stand still. But God, it's hard to stand still when there is no nothing. There is nothing around us. There is nothing to hold on to. But God, help us just to keep walking the same way. God, that old path, we can set it up where others who follow after will follow after and follow those steps to you. God, I'm asking you right now in the name of Jesus, somebody is living here in despair. God, there's a good possibility somebody's got cancer. Good possibility somebody's home's breaking up. Somebody's lost their job. The one they love more than anybody else is sick and they're scared for them. I'm just asking you right now to give them special grace and special help. Father, you told us to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So help us to be that while your head's bowed.